الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty, the sustainer. Brothers, many of us are born here in South Africa, and many of us have come from different parts of Africa, Somalia, Nigeria, Malawi, the Arab countries. At least we should know this much. كيف دخل الإسلام في جنوب أفريقا? How did Islam enter our shores of South Africa? Why do we study history? We study history so that we are motivated, inspired for the future. Why do we study history? Islamic history is so unique. Let us go back and see. In 1652, we know that the Dutch came to our beloved country, South Africa. And just 2 years after that, it is documented in 1654, we find that the Muslims were brought here. Many of them were brought as political prisoners. Many of them were brought as slaves. And they were brought by the East India Dutch Company, and so that they will serve the whims and fancies of the Dutch and others at that time. Lo and behold, this is 1654. We see 40 years after that, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala brings a sheikh, Sheikh Yusuf of Makassar. Subhanallah, he was a sheikh. He was the magnet of that society. He was teaching them regarding their surahs and du'as, giving them the spiritual teaching, which they never heard at that time there. So he is one of the pioneers of Islam here in South Africa. Then we fast forward, and before I go to the next personality, if you want to go and visit the mazar of Sheikh Yusuf Rahimahullah, then you should go to 40 Day in Cape Town. Subhanallah, these are the people, they laid the foundation for all of us, whatever we see here today. It's not we go to Cape Town just for Table Mountain or Robben Island and we forget everything else. Then we go forward to 1780, 81. Subhanallah, a person from the royal family, from Java, and we see he is sent as a political prisoner. His name, Abdullah Qazi Abdul Salam. His title, Imam Dwanguru. Imam Dwanguru means Mr. Teacher, Mr. Professor. He was a Hafiz, he was a Sheikh, he was an Imam. Subhanallah, how many of us brothers and sisters even know this? He was incarcerated there at Robben Island from the year 1781 to 1793. He was a Hafiz, my brothers, a Hafiz par excellence. From memory, he wrote the entire Quran Sharif at Robben Island during his incarceration. The first Quran Sharif to see the light of day in the history of South Africa was that Quran Sharif. We as Muslims should not be promoting what the non-Muslims did. We should be promoting what the Muslims did. And we're not even aware of our own history. 1781 to 1793, Imam Tuanguru, Imam Abdullah Qazi Abdul Salam, Rahimahullah. He is buried there in Cape Town, but alas, many of us don't even know that. Next time you go to Cape Town, ask the ulama and mashayikh, I want to go to that person who wrote the first Quran Sharif in the history of South Africa. Not only that, remember that Quran Sharif is still available even today. If you ask the ulama of Cape Town, they have placed it in a vault, in a safe, because we know South Africa has become the crime capital of the world. They might even steal our Quran. And they made a photocopy, and that brings me to the next point. Our first democratic election was 1994. Go back two centuries, 1794, you find our first masjid was built in Buakap, and this was in 1794. In that masjid there, you will find the Quran Sharif. There's a showcase there in the corner, and you will see the Quran written. Can you imagine the man wrote it between 1781, 1793? 1794, they are responsible for building the first masjid in the history of South Africa. So see what a rich history we have. He's the first imam there, first teacher there, Imam Twanguru Rahimahullah. Therefore, when you go to Cape Town, make sure at least one salat you perform in Oval Masjid, Masjid Oval in Buakap, so that we go back to our roots and we realize what sacrifices these people made to revive Islam. Again, his name features when they are people who, first time we have Jummah Salat in the history of South Africa. Again, we find Imam Twanguru Rahimahullah's name features there. If you go further on in our old Transvaal here, Johannesburg, Pretoria, your oldest masjid is your Kirk Street Masjid in Transvaal. And in our Heidelberg, where I was born, that was second oldest masjid. If you go to KwaZulu-Natal, you will find the oldest masjid is the Grey Street Jummah Masjid, and the second oldest masjid is the West Street Masjid. So this is how Islam started here in South Africa. Let us come to the second point. At least read two rakat salat for Sheikh Yusuf, Imam Twanguru, and say, Ya Allah, grant them the highest stages in Jannah, and all their companions and students, because they were in jail, incarcerated, just because they were Muslim. As we see now what is happening nowadays in different parts of the world. Now let's come to the second point. We all know what is currently happening in South Africa. Everybody will have his own analysis and own reasons and rationale. But what does Almighty Allah tell us? What we are experiencing currently in South Africa. The crime, the corruption, the hijacking, kidnapping, so many problems. You can have conference after conference, seminar after seminar. We're not going to solve this. Allah teaching us how we can solve this problem. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرِيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُتْمَئِنَّا يَعْتِيَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Almighty Allah gives an example. Allah has given various examples in the Noble Quran. Why? وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. His examples Almighty Allah gives so that you, O Muslim, you should wonder, ponder and reflect over it. So these examples are for all times, all places, all situations. Qariya, those of you who know Arabic, you know it is a common noun, it's nakira. Nakira we use in Arabic. So it is for all towns, all cities. There's a country, there's a town, there's a city. They were living in peace, in harmony. And the risk and sustenance was coming min kulli makan, from all places. How good the life was. Me and you, primarily the Muslim. What did we do? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْهُمِ اللَّهِ. We became ungrateful, unthankful to the bounties of Allah. They told us in 1994, now you are free. The Muslim took it, majority of us. We are free from Islam as well. So many things we people would see. Not only part-time Muslims. Today we are part-time Muslims. As the Shair, the poet says, Razi rahe Rahman bi, khush rahe Shaitan bi. We want to please everybody. We want to please Allah, we want to please Shaitan. Shaitan will be very pleased, but Allah is not pleased. So my brothers, we ourselves have a good talk with our spouses, our children, our family members, and analyze the situation. See what Allah says. Cause and effect. You are ungrateful, O Muslim, me and you, all of us. What will I do? Now we're entering November, December, very soon. The leeches, the mangoes will appear. We want to taste it. Allah Jalla Wala gives us the same word. فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوءِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Allah Jalla Wala will let you taste jew, poverty. See the petrol price, almost 17 rand. How many people retrenched and unemployed? Al-Khawf, we live in fear. I can't enter your place here without entering the boom gate. We can't walk around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night alone. We all know that. So we live in fear. We live with poverty. So this is the direct result of our nashukri, our ingratitude, our unthankfulness to our beloved Creator. Allah is the most benevolent, the most merciful to us. So daily, my brothers, let us make shukr to Almighty Allah, what we have in South Africa. The world will tell you, but let me tell you, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was incarcerated. The people who were responsible for putting him into jail, they visited him and they asked him, how's things there, Shaykh? He said, from where you are and where I am is what Allah says. Batinuhu fi rahma wa zahiruhu min qibali al-adab. For me, inside this jail also is Allah's mercy. He took coal and he wrote a whole book whilst he was incarcerated and in prison. Where you are looking at me is azab. When the world looks at us, South Africa, crime, AIDS, and so many problems, murder, and so. But what we have here, so many ulama, so many hufaz, so many masajid, darulum, so much freedom, you will not find in any part of the world. So my brothers, for that alone, we need to make shukr and be grateful to Allah. Remember that. So I beg you, if you want to change the scenario, forget all this. Allah is giving us the panacea and the cure. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Verily, Allah will not change the plight and condition of a people until and unless you change within yourself. Always when I visit the rehab and I go there, I find my brothers, my sisters, and I tell them, see, I want to give you one message. It's very simple. You can go to the best rehab. You can have the best doctors. No one is going to help you. You will go back into relapse and you will go back into your same condition. Till you fight your desires and suppress your desires. You must divorce yourself from the scourge of drugs. Leave your bad friends. Then you are going in the right direction. Otherwise you're going from bad to worse. So that's our condition now. So each one of us take heed of this verse. Third one, what is one of the greatest global problems the Ummah is facing as an Ummah, international Ummah? We see there are 7 billion people on this earth today. Let's take round figures, 1 billion Muslims. If you go to Palestine today, our first Qibla, you will find daily, you must remember that the settlers and the Zionists are entering Masjid al-Aqsa, obviously with the army and police. And what can the Palestinians do? They are outnumbered and they are outpowered. Everything is against them. But this is their iman. You see in Gaza, where Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was born. Subhanallah, Allah has taken that fear away. They come right till what they call the border. There is no border. This is what Israel, the apartheid regime, has put there. So you must remember, every week our children are giving their lives. Because they said, we will no more trust this Ummah. They go with just stones in their hand or they take a kite. Imagine taking a kite against the most powerful army in the whole Middle East. And the kite, they just let it go to the other side. And then somehow it burns some portion of apartheid Israel. And they cannot even deal with that. And they shoot our children mercilessly. They're baby killers. Do you know what is happening in Palestine? Now they're already preparing because they know they got the American regime totally on their side. So you must remember they're already preparing. And the saber rattling has started. That way, if you've been to Aqsa, Masjid, the whole 35 acres, the wall is Aqsa. I'm speaking of the structure. The front structure we call Aqsa. And at the back we call Qubbatu Sakhra, the dome of the rock. Where Surah Yasin is inscribed. It was built in the year 72 after Hijrah by Abdul Malik bin Marwan. They say they're going to demolish that Allah forbid and replace it with Haikal-e Sulaimani. Where is the Ummah? Where are our leaders? So the children of Palestine, they said, we will take what we have, Iman in our hearts, and we'll take this few stones and we will take on the might of the apartheid regime. And what do they say? They say, Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud, Inna Jaysha Muhammad Sofa Yahud. Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud. It is the 7th year of the Hijrah. It is the month of Muharram. Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba go to the headquarters of the Jews, 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. And lo and behold, they defeated the Jews, humiliated them. So our children are inspired with that. And they tell the Jews and the Zionist regime, Khaybar, Khaybar, Ya Yahud. Oh Jews, remember Khaybar. We are children, but the Iman is so strong and powerful. Inna Jaysha Muhammad Sofa Yahud. The army of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are coming. And we will liberate our land. Imagine. Go back, my brothers. What have we done? I told you today I want to give you some lessons of history as well. 1994. Saturday, 15th of Ramadan. You must remember, if you go to Khalil Rahman Hebron, Baruch Goldstein, the Zionist terrorist, entered the masjid. And remember, Fajr time, the masjid was packed to capacity. I read Salat Day in 89. I performed Salat Day in 1992. This is 94, 15 Ramadan on a Saturday, Fajr time. Baruch Goldstein comes with his Uzi and he shoots the Muslim, murders them, premeditated murder. 29 of our brothers collapse and pass away, become shaheed in the masjid. The eventual death toll was about 69, 70, those who succumbed to the injuries. What did the apartheid regime of Israel do? They are the murderers. They stole our masjid, occupied our masjid, and they partitioned it. One third now is ours, two thirds or more is theirs. The same stunt they pull at Masjid Khalilur Rahman, the Ummah was silent. So remember, the Palestinians say, we will not allow you to do this with Aqsa, even if we give our life. I ask you one question, my brother. Did you cry any time for Aqsa? We cry when our soccer teams lose. We cry when we see these shaitanic movies. The men are busy with Hollywood, the women are busy with Bollywood, the children are busy with Robin Hood. All these satanic activities, we cry. But for Aqsa, did we ever cry? Ask ourselves. Where is our attachment, my brothers? Where is our Iman? So the first thing I told you, our history of Islam in South Africa. Second thing I told you, that what is the status quo now and what is the panacea and the cure. And third thing, each one of you, you have the means, go for Hajj, go for Umrah, then take your children. You don't need visa, nothing. And you go to Palestine and show them what we had here in South Africa, apartheid. That was a walk in the park compared to what our children are going through there in Palestine, what our women are going through. Remember, every Friday, no one is allowed in Aqsa if you are less than 40 years old. They were born there, they were bred there, but they can't enter Masjid al-Aqsa. This is the apartheid regime of Israel, the only so-called democracy in the Middle East. So think about it seriously. Take your zakat money, take your sadaqat, go empower them. Leave the organizations, go yourself, and go give everything what you want to. Fourth one, my brothers, it's holiday still. What are our children doing during these holidays? Ask yourself. We have turned a blind eye. Almighty Allah is giving us lessons. Surah 66 verse 6. Very easy reference. Surah 66 verse 6. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. A iman walo. Oh you who believe. 89 times Allah has used this phrase. Ye to ashiqana khitab hai. Allah Jalla Wala uses this phrase to elevate our rank and status. Allah is teaching us and commanding us, Hu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and save your children, your progeny from the fire. Be honest, my brothers, whether you're from Somalia, Nigeria, Malawi, South Africa, you are a father. When last did you have a heart-to-heart talk with your son and daughter? What we are doing now is we buy their love. We call this the C syndrome. You see, when my child, my grandchild grows up, We buy them the best clothes. And then when they grow up further, then we buy them the CDs. We buy them the computers. They grow up further and develop further, we buy them the cell phone. And then we keep on giving them cash. And we think that we are now buying, we are doing our duty. No. We are not spending quality time with them. Where is the father? The father is playing golf. Which kind of golf? Allah alone knows. It's masjid. I'll stop there. Brothers, you must remember this next one. Where is the mother? The mother is visiting all the malls or meeting Paul. So that is the reality. Ask me, I'm in the media. Every day I'm getting calls. My marriage is on the verge of breaking. Because my husband is having so many affairs. Or the wife is busy with somebody on the WhatsApp. When last did you check the phone of your child, of your son and daughter? When they get hooked up with somebody and our reputation is on the verge of tatters, then we start waking up. This is not our responsibility. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So the C syndrome is not the way Islam taught us. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Tirmidhi. Ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. Oh father, oh mother, the greatest gift you can give your beloved flowers and children is character, good character. Where have we got time for that? We consider that to be outdated, orthodox and backward. Our parents, they did not have this money and facilities we have. But they taught us the love of Allah, Jalla wa Ala. They taught us the love of Mustafa, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They taught us the love of Sahaba and Awliyaullah. When last did we do this with our children? If we teach them, we're teaching them, leave this model, I'll buy for you another model. The latest iPad, the latest iPhone, and the latest I this and I that. Think what we are doing. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyya. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Each one of us, we are the shepherds. Tomorrow on the day of justice, you will be questioned regarding your flock, regarding our children, grandchildren. Oh dada, oh nana, oh grandparents, you also. Sometimes you want to spoil your grandchildren more than the parents. Remember, we're doing a disservice to them. Give them the true gift of Iman and Islam and character. Don't buy their love with artificial things. That won't last, even they will realize that this father, mother did not fulfill their rights as far as I go. Tomorrow when we leave this world, they will be there thanking you when you inculcated in them the true qualities of a Muslim. I have 5-6 minutes left, brothers, and I come to the last topic. When we study the world today, remember this is from time immemorial. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till the age of 40, the same people of Makkah, they said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are Sadiq, you are Amin. They tell before Wahi and Revelation, you the most honest, you the most, the person with the most integrity and trustworthiness. All these titles, they saw the sublime character of the Master alayhi wa sallam. But when Wahi came in Jabal al-Nur, in Ghari Hira, what happened? The revelation caused such a revolution. 90% of them, they use such words against Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Quran says, you are a sha'ir, you are a poet. You are majnoon, you are insane, Allah forbid. You are kahin, you are a fortune teller. So when you remain salih, you remain pious yourself, people will be happy with you. But our function is not to remain salih, just worry about ourselves. We have to become muslih. We have to bring about piety in ourselves, in our society, and bring about reform. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى بِذُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. Allah will not destroy a people and a nation as long as the people there are muslih. That you are bringing about reform and goodness in the people. So my brothers, this is what we find from Ghari Hira's time right till today. Today the greatest challenge here in South Africa, Africa and in the world. Remember, we belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You go to any township, you go to any capital, you will find in South Africa, Africa, you have the scourge and the menace of the Shias. Let me tell you three things about the Shias. I've been to Iran in 2013. We love all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam, and we love Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. After all the messengers, we love Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, and we love Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu an. This regime in Iran, a place called Kashan, it was a Friday Jummah today. They have built a bazaar, a shrine, for the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, and they call it Baba Shuja. They said, you are very, very brave. You did a good thing. You murdered Sayyidina Umar. So they don't say Sayyidina, but obviously we say, so you murdered Umar. That's why we love you so much. People who hate Umar and radiallahu an, and they love the murder of Umar, I ask you and pose a question to you. Can you consider such people to be Muslim? I'm asking you. One. Second one, I'm not speaking emotionally. I challenged the Shia anywhere in the world. I debated with them in Iran and I beat them with Allah's help. We debated with them on live on radio. We debated, we defeated them here also. So second point, Khomeini Shaitan writes in his book, Tawdihul Masail, which I have. He says you can give money to the lady. Now it's going for 1 o'clock. So you give the lady any amount you agree, she agree, mutually, amicably, you agree on. You can use her for 1 hour. And then she goes her way, you go your way. This is permissible. Is Khomeini and Shia Azam not promoting prostitution? They want you, O Muslim, and the youth, to join them so that you can make more mut'ah. And if you make mut'ah with a Sunni lady, then you have conquered someone very great. They want to remove our iman. Third question I ask you. If these people, the Shias, remember, swear our mother Siddiqa, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. They swear Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Abu Umar and Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anha. The greatest people of this ummah. Who is Sayyidina Abu Bakr? Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 40. Thani Asnaini Idhuma fil ghar. He is the second one. After Nabi alayhi salam, he is the second one. In the cave, he was the second one. When they travel to Medina, he's the second one. He's the second one on the musalla of Nabi alayhi salam. The master alayhi salam is ill. 17 salat, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and who made imamat fi hayatin Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the zindagi and life mubarak of the masters. Oh Shia Shaitan, who is buried next to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Thaniyas name, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I want to make it very clear to you. Brothers, if you speak of unity with the Shias, you better check your own iman. There's a good chance you might fly right out of iman in Islam. If you think that Shias are Muslim, then remember you are in serious trouble. You need to draw the dichotomy. They are nothing to do with Islam. They are the Trojan horse. The enemies use them so that they cause fragmentation in this ummah. And their founder and father, Abdullah bin Sabah, was a Jew as well. So you need to understand the scourge, the danger of Shiaism. We don't have to curry favor with any person, any politician, any government. Remember that we have to protect the deen of Almighty Allah. We have to protect our creed and our aqidah, our belief structure of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So I leave you with that. Shias are not Muslim, brothers. Don't fool yourself. So we thank all of you, the Imam, the trustees, my cousin Haji Musa Kareem, mashallah, barakallahu fikum to all of you. Our Imam Sahib, inshallah, will make the perform the khutbah and salat. One last announcement, our team is here, Barakat Sahaba. Though the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those of you who want to get your decoders tuned up, inshallah, you can meet them. It's free of charge. Don't worry, you don't have to pay. We haven't come for collection. Don't worry. So, people run away, you know. We haven't come. Don't worry. It's free of charge. So, inshallah, you make dua for us. Make dua for the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillah.